Well, Coach, how are you?
Good, Pete. How about yourself?
Fine.
Brett, Steve, how's it going?
Doing good, thank you.
Not too bad, Coach. A little tired from my coaching experience today.
Yeah, well, we don't want to hear
I'm
about that
I'm helping Coach Sudbury High. Get a little beat up. Now I know what you go through.
Brett's the first walk-on coach in the history of high school sports.
I just won't leave. If by coaching you mean one of those overbearing parents that likes to run around and scream at people.
Oh,
yeah,
you know about
he's
that.
Coaching.
No, don't
yeah, he's coaching.
Why is that guy with a cigar won't leave the stadium?
Well, it's been a couple of days. You've had time for all this to sink in, this 27-17 loss. What positives did you take out of a game like that?
Well, I thought, actually, we played better in the second half with some of our younger guys and of course, some of their younger guys, too. I thought that, we had a couple long drives, sustained drives, finally, and without too many errors. Defensively, I thought we played a little bit better. I thought there were some good things. I mean, even on some of the bad plays, there were some positive things on those plays, but there were overriding negative things, naturally. So, but as in any preseason game, there's some things to build on, some positive things to build on, and then some other things that need to be corrected and we need to do a better job of, or, you know, they would cost us in the regular season just like they cost us the other night.
Well, special teams break down. They allowed a couple of touchdowns. What's the biggest reason the special teams broke down and let those touchdowns get home?
So let's say it's a combination of things. Poor tackling was part of it, leverage and lane coverage. On the punt team, we had, several guys kind of chasing each other down the field. It was kind of like a stacked eye formation. We don't want that. And kickoff coverage, we didn't fit properly on the wedge, missed a tackle, and, couldn't get over the top. So just, mistakes that shouldn't happen, but they did happen, and we need to correct them. This is 3 weeks in a row we've had coverage issues, so we need to put that fire out.
How much of a rotation you do on the kick special teams to get a look at guys? I mean, it's not very consistent, the guys you put in there. Number one thing you have to be on specials team is structured.
Yeah, well, I'd say it's similar to offense and defense, that there's quite a bit of different personnel, different combinations, trying to evaluate different guys, like you see on offense and defense, different quarterbacks, different receivers, different linemen, different tight ends. So it's comparable to that.
Tom and Matt Light were out there practicing, at least for the media portion of a practice today. How did both of them look, and will they play on Thursday?
They both look good, Pete. I think we'll make a decision probably Tuesday night, Wednesday morning on just the playtime rotation. But, we got a few guys back this week, and Matt and Tom, in fact, all four quarterbacks, worked today and I thought threw the ball well. We had a good practice. So, they're starting to come back.
How important is it for a guy with Brady's experience or even Matt Light's experience to get some live fire game time?
Well, I think it's something that you would like, but not at the expense of setting anybody back and preventing them from being at their best possible position relative or for the opener. So I think we try to balance that off. In an ideal world, that would be great to have, but not. I don't think it's worth setting a player back just to say, well, he took a few snaps, especially experienced players like the ones you mentioned. Randy Moss last year. So,
Coach, how much of a difference does it make the game being on Thursday as opposed to Saturday of getting some veterans a little more playing time that need it because you have those extra days to rest?
Well, it's certainly a concern, Fred. We had the game after the Tampa game, the Philly game came after 5 days, and then this Giant game now comes after 6 days. So they're both short weeks, and, of course, that helps us with the long week for Kansas City, but it hurts us, during these weeks, and we could, after a long training camp and three preseason games, there's no doubt that that the veteran players, all players, but certainly the veteran players, could use an extra day of rest and rehabilitation. So, but we don't have it, so we'll go with what we got. But it is nice to have a nice full week in these preseason games. So we just don't have it this week.
Is it tough, besides evaluating the younger players, but is it tough to prepare for a fourth exhibition game knowing that probably most of the veterans aren't going to play? And just the overall, I mean, how much more difficult is it than, say, exhibition game one or two? We always, third is supposed to be the most important one, but the fourth one, I got to figure, is going to be the toughest one to coach it.
Well, I think that what a player needs to do is go through the preparation for this game just like he would next week's game against Kansas City. And that's really what he needs to do. He needs to prepare just like he would prepare in the regular season. look at the scouting report, study the game plan, watch film, and be mentally ready to go, because that's what it's going to take against Kansas City. It's going to take 60 minutes of good mental and physical preparation and an all-out effort for the entire game. And, you know, we can't do and probably won't do that with any of our players this week, but they all need to, in terms of playing time, but they all need to should go through the preparation phase of it and, you know, mentally being in that frame, because I just don't think that you can, you know, prepare for, let's say, a half, to pick a number. You know, I'm going to play a half. I'm just going to kind of prepare for a half. Here's who I'm going to see, da-da-da. And then next week, well, all of a sudden we'll just flip the switch and everything will be right. I think that's a process that you build up to. And you also, during the game, build up to it that even though you're not in there playing every play, you're watching every play, you're hearing the call, you're thinking about what your assignment or adjustment will be and how you would react to it, you know, as the play takes place. And that's really what we want our players to do that aren't playing in the game at that particular time, or even if they're not in the game period. And that's how we wanted to prepare for it in these preseason games. That's the best thing I can do to get ready.
Are you dedicating practice time now to the opener as opposed to the New York Giants?
Well, Steve, we've kind of done a little bit of kind of, I would say, generic preparation for the season throughout the course of training camp. One of the hard things about Kansas City, especially their offense, is they have a new coordinator with Chan Gailey. So, you know, we're not really sure exactly what they're going to do. We'll see some of the stuff in preseason, but how much he's holding back or not holding back remains to be seen. But through the course of the preseason, what we've done is we've worked on our opponent, but we've also dedicated part of practice time to just things that we want to do that we know we'll need to do during the season, whether it's blitz pickup or situational play like third down or red area, or you know, timing type plays like screen passes or defensive blitzes or fake blitzes and then pulling out into coverage or things like that. So we work on that stuff on a regular weekly basis, regardless of whether we're going to use it in the preseason game or not, just so that we can kind of stay on top of it.
Coach, how much film preparation do you do for Giants? You won't watch, will the team watch any film at all?
Or sure. Yeah.
They watch a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, we'll watch you know, we'll watch their preseason games. And, you know, we played them at the end of the year last year, so we'll probably watch that game too.
So most of the preparation, they'll just, is it game plan, any specific things for this team or just general stuff that you're going to run?
Well, I think we'll take the plays that we already have in and decide which one of those we want to run against the Giants. I mean, some things look better than others, or some plays that we probably wouldn't want to run against their defense just because of the tendency of or the alignment that they give us. It's just not, you know, wouldn't be conducive for certain plays. So we'll kick them out. But, you know, we'll go with a few plays that, you know, we feel like we'll be competitive on. We have, you know, has a decent chance to work. We're not going to put in anything, you know, new and special and all that, but, you know, plays that we feel like would, you know, have a chance to match up against them, or at least, you know, situationally would be, you know, would give us a, you know, a decent percentage chance if we execute it well of, you know, getting what we want.
But how much time will you think Matt Castle will get on Thursday night? And he's been the big subject on the station the last couple of days, and amongst not just fans but media people alone. Cool. Just for me, just looking at it, it looks like he's kind of taken a bit of a step back from the last two seasons, and certainly these three preseason games. I expect a little bit more. I'm kind of surprised that, and I know the offensive line is a bit banged up, and that has something to do with it, but to me it looks like Matt Castle's taken at least half a step back from what I've seen the last couple of years.
Well, I think we'll, as I said, Pete, though, all the quarterbacks will practice this week, and then how we'll set up the playing time, we'll talk about that, you know, probably tomorrow after practice. But, you know, we've told them all to be ready to play and to expect to play and prepare to play, and that's, you know, what I would want them to do. And then, you know, whatever the coach's decisions are, then that's what they'll be, and you know, the players will play accordingly. You know, again, I think that it's hard to, and I know quarterbacks kind of get judged by what the whole offense does, and that's okay because there's something, it is their job to move the team, but, you know, In preseason, in the situation that we've been in, I mean, a lot of our evaluation is, you know, a little more geared towards what the, you know, what the actual players do, and as opposed to kind of the entire performance of the unit. You know, we had two third down conversions against Philadelphia that were nullified by penalties. So, you know, that's the players that got penalties weren't the quarterback. So, you know, I mean, I don't think those plays were you know, the quarterback's responsibility, but unfortunately, you know, those stop the drives, and so, you know, the quarterback didn't score on those plays or on those series. So, you know, there's a little bit of that. I'm not trying to make excuses or not make excuses. I'm just saying I think sometimes it's a combination of factors. And, you know, the biggest thing in the Philadelphia game, what we've trying to emphasize and emphasize the entire training camp and preseason is taking care of the ball, not turning the ball over. And, you know, two of our worst plays, the two of the plays that I would be the most unhappy about in this preseason have been the two fumbled snaps. You know, the one in the Ravens game at the start of the third quarter, and then the one in the Tampa game early in the third quarter went for a touchdown. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. To not be able to, you know, execute the quarterback center exchange, and then them not only end up with the ball, but end up in the end zone. So, you know, getting rid of those kind of plays and, you know, trying to evaluate, you know, other plays on a more consistent basis, that's, you know, that's kind of what we're, you know, what we're looking for all the quarterbacks is, you know, their performance on their individual plays, what they do with their opportunities and the decisions that they make.
So very, very little of what you grade is the performance of the unit. You have to break down individuals because a lot of stuff isn't geared towards beating the team specifically, but you're looking at the individual to see how his performance did. So quarterback, even though the team might not have done much, might have played pretty well because he executed as well as he could in that situation.
Right. I mean, you know, sometimes you have drop passes, you have penalties, you have, you know, something happens that, it, you know, it's really not a breakdown at the quarterback position. It's a breakdown at another position. You know, and at times we have breakdowns at the quarterback position too. Same thing for the receivers. They, you know, they make a nice read, they run a good route, and the quarterback, you know, is throwing the ball to somebody else or makes a bad throw or whatever.
A break down the O-line, two guys come free.
Right, or that's right, or can't get the ball off or something like that. So, you know, those are plays that are good plays by a receiver that might look like they're bad plays to the fans, and they are. You know, to get sacked is a bad play, but, you know, actually you might see the receivers doing a couple good things on the pattern.
Yeah.
They just didn't get the ball in that play. So, you know, we just try to take all that into consideration you know, be specific about our evaluation of each player, not just, you know, a general overall group performance. I mean, there's certainly a place for that too, but not in specific players.
Is Jerod Mayo ready to contend for some playing time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he'll definitely be on the field again. And what percentage of the time and his exact roles, that'll be determined a little bit by game plan week to week, and also how he performs will have something to do with, you know, his playing time. But yeah, I'm sure that he'll see playing time, you know, as we start the season. Maybe not in every package, but certainly in some of them, and very possibly he could see, you know, a majority of playing time on defense.
What's the big thing that impressed you about him so far?
I would say his day-to-day intensity and purpose. You know, he's very he's got a good work ethic. He's not the class clown. He's all business. You know, he wants to be a good football player. He works hard at it. It's important to him. And if something goes wrong, then he's trying to get it right and get it fixed and get it corrected. And usually when you're on the play the next time, he's got it. You know, he doesn't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. So I've been very impressed with that. It's something that, you know, sometimes players will have that kind of urgency on a short-term basis, you know, for a day or for part of practice or whatever. I'd say, you know, Jerod's had it pretty much from the moment he got here the weekend after the draft. He's been kind of had that same kind of focus and intensity and purpose for, you know, several months now. And so that's been impressive.
How about your secondary guys like, you know, Brian and Hobbs and Lynch also being here just a short time picking up defense? I know Rodney Harris is around really talking about he's picking Rodney's brain, trying to get everything down. But how do you feel about the secondary so far? And can you assess them, at least the last three games?
Well, there are a few guys that, Pete, we'd like to see a little bit more of. You know, Jason Webster really hasn't had a chance to do much. Will Height played a little bit last week, but, you know, he's missed some time. Mike Richardson is another guy we haven't really had a chance to evaluate much in preseason. So some of those guys have been, you know, in and out a little bit. I mean, most all of them have missed a little time. Ellis missed some time at the beginning, and, you know, Rodney missed a little time. Merriweather's out a little bit last week. You know, you kind of go right down the line, Lewis Sanders. So, I mean, we've had, other than, you know, Fernando and Terrence Wheatley, it seems like, you know, James Sanders has missed a little bit of time, Ellis. So, you know, we just haven't had them all out there either together or on a consistent basis. It's kind of been, you know, miss some time and then be out there and then miss a little time. So I feel a lot better about it if we could just, you know, have them out there consistently and be able to see everybody and, you know, watch them work with each other and compare them against each other. But it's kind of, you know, it just hasn't been that
way. So how do you feel you evaluate them? I mean, it's kind of
we just got to do the best we can, yeah. But it's not,
time's
certainly
running out,
not
right?
Perfect. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to make decisions based on what we've seen. But in some cases I wish that there was more information to go on in some cases and more, you know, that we've been able to get more of those guys out there together. But in the end, we'll just have to do whatever, you know, just go on with what we have. And I'm just saying I wish I was a little bit more. So I feel like that's a little bit of an incomplete, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, we have to grade it anyway.
Could you say the same thing about your offensive line?
To some degree, Steve, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've been actually a little more consistent on the offensive line. You know, I think Wes and Logan and Dan have been out there, you know, pretty mm-hmm. consistently. Dan Connolly, you know, Bill Yates missed a little bit of time, but he's been there pretty regularly. Nick's, other than the first couple of days, he's, you know, so I think we've had more guys there. The problem is we lost, a few guys. We lost Stokes. He went on IR, and Clement, he went on IR, and then we've replaced them with other players like Wellborn and Flynn and, mm-hmm. you know, and guys like that. So that's been a little bit of a, you know, musical chairs situation here. But you know, a fair number of those guys have been out there every day, you know, day in and day out. And so I think that's been a little better than the secondary.
Friday night was also the first night that Bruce King Vrabel had the green dot helmets and the signals being called in. I heard Teddy early today with Dalen Felger. And I don't know, he's talking about he couldn't hear the signal at one point. He got hit hard. He couldn't hear it as well at the end of the game as he could at the beginning or whatever. It's definitely a flawed system. There's no question about that. And it's got to be a pain in the butt for those guys to be worried about different helmets and trying to focus on the game and then worrying about what helmet you're going to put on.
Yeah, well, I agree. I don't think it's anywhere near as clean as the quarterback. That's a much cleaner situation for a number of reasons, not only the equipment issue, but just, you know, every team's got a quarterback. Every quarterback's in there for every play. People don't substitute quarterbacks. They're always the play callers. There's no other play callers. You don't have the guard calling plays. So it's a much cleaner situation, and I think that, you know, the league's tried to come up with a system for defense, and probably no matter what system you use, there would be some kinks in it, unless you had your middle linebacker functioning pretty much like an offensive quarterback. Maybe like the Bears do with Urlacher, maybe like the Ravens do with Ray Lewis. You know, there are probably some teams that this is really convenient for, and it works and it functions well for. But from talking to other coaches in the league and just watching other teams operate and knowing what I know about coaching defensive football, I think that there are probably more teams that are in our boat than, mm-hmm. than, let's say, are in a Ravens or Chicago Bears type of situation or Redskins with London Fletcher. You know, I think, you know, the kind of teams that I'm talking about and that we're dealing with here, there's just more moving parts. There's more issues. There's different personnel groups. It's not as clean. So I think it still may have a place for us. I'm not sure exactly what the best way for us to use it is. And that's the decision that we would make, is how can we use it the best? And the answer to that might be not at all.
Mm-hmm. You know. Will you use it again this Thursday, or are you going back to hand signals?
Well, we used both in the game against Philadelphia. And we'll probably try it again to some degree. Just, mm-hmm. you know, it's another game on the road, and it seems like there are always more problems when you're on the road than when you're at home. So we'll give it, you know, another shot. Maybe we'll use it in a little different way. You know, to communicate with those guys on the field. But I'm just not sure at this point what the best way for us to use it is. And we'll keep working with it. If we find one, great. If we don't, then we can always do it the way we've been doing it for the past few years.
Any camp surprises? Someone that came out of nowhere to catch your eye?
No, I really can't think of any. Fred, I think, you know, for the most part, I think the players are pretty much performing to about the strengths and weaknesses that we thought, and of course everybody's, you know, the young guys especially have made a lot of improvement. I think that overall this rookie group has been a very good group to work with. They've worked hard. They've been very conscientious and studious. They help each other out a lot. Like, they study together and they work together and they work hard. We haven't had any problems as far as them being attentive or being, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, they're really trying. They're putting forth a lot of effort, and I think it's shown in their improvement with, you know, really all the young players and a lot of our second year players too. So I think that's been, you know, overall encouraging. I don't think any of those guys has just, you know, leaped out of the building, but I think they've all made good, steady, solid improvement, and they've got a long way to go. But, you know, overall, I think the group's done well.
Who's the Turk this year?
The Turk this year is kind of Scott Pioli.
He likes that.
Coach,
Scott,
you had
Scott and some of his staff. You know, really, we haven't had to release really. You know, I mean, we've had to make a couple of roster moves, but that's kind of been one-for-one moves because we've, you know, had to sign a couple offensive linemen, or, you know, we got into a bind where we had to sign one player and release another, but we really haven't had a cut down, and we'll have to, you know, reduce the roster a little bit tomorrow, but with just five players and there may be a couple of injury situations there that might factor into it. So really it looks like it'll probably just be the one day when we, you know, cut to 53.
You've had Ray Vitrone, former defensive back, playing some receiver, and I believe Slater was playing a little defensive back. Have you found the hybrid Troy Brown-type slash player in either of those guys?
I think they both are, Steve. I don't know if they'll be, you know, maybe to the same level as Troy, which was pretty high. But they both have played on both sides of the ball, and they've been effective on both sides of the ball. You know, Ray had some nice plays in the passing game the other day or the other night, and Matt had some good plays defensively. I thought he made a nice hit on the sideline, got involved in a couple tackles, and, you know, showed his speed and range back there. So, and we both know that, you know, Ray can play defense and Slate can play offense. So, you know, we'll just keep working with them, and I think their versatility, and, of course, both guys are good special teams players. So, in terms of being able to maybe compete at one or two spots for the price of just carrying one player, that's a big advantage that they have. You know, in terms of their versatility and being productive and being able to back up a couple spots and still contribute in the kicking game. But it's been interesting to have those guys, you know, two of them doing it and really doing a pretty good job. I know they've had a few mental errors, but there are none really that pop out and come to mind. It's not like, you know, they go through and make a lot of mistakes in practice. And, again, considering the amount of stuff that they have to do, that's been good too.
Can you carry five running backs on this team?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't think that would be any problem. You know, we've carried four quarterbacks, so I think we could carry five running backs. You know, to me, we could carry as many people pretty much at any position within reason as we wanted to, as long as the quality was there. You know, I wouldn't want to, you know, carry them just to carry them, but you know, if we felt they were really good football players and you know, maybe we couldn't even get them to the game right away, but over the course of a 16-game schedule, sooner or later, that they would have an opportunity to play and help us win, then we would, I think we'd find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, as you know, you got to inactivate, you know, eight guys anyway.
Sure.
So if, you know, to have a guy on your team, even though he may not be active, but if he's a good football player, you know, eventually you'll be able to get to him.
Nice to have.
Well, no coach's question of the week this week, Coach, but every Patriots Monday, beginning when the season begins this year, when we talk to the coach, you'll have a chance to submit your question for us to ask the coach at WEI.com's football page. If your question is chosen, you'll automatically win a $100 gift card to the all-new Davio's at Patriot Place. The coach's question is powered all season by CleanEnergyAction.net. When you log on to CleanEnergyAction.net, you'll find that a strong wind can do a lot more than push that winning field goal through the uprights. Tackle your energy costs and alternatives at Clean Energy Action Net today.
You have a question for Pete, Coach?
No, we have a question for the guys.
You know, what do you think, Pete, on the you know, on the fans coming in before the game? And I didn't like that first play.
Well, no, but who was somebody missed a block?
Well,
I heard Pete influenced.
Somebody always, you know,
I did not influence anything.
So, you know, we talked about trying to establish a running game and creating some you know, second and medium, second and short situations, and then we lose 5 yards on the first play, and it's second and 15. So, You know, I think I can call him that good.
Yeah. Well, that was what was
so that
was
a fan
that,
play?
No, but he was terrific with the people that came in. But you
no,
were
it was
you
great.
Were,
we had a lot of fun.
You were that was a great donation,
I thought
by the
was not
How'd
funny. Ironic
in the mix.
Ironic is because he asked me to. Was that you were breaking down the special teams for them all the whole hour, and sure enough, what happens? And you talked about how good they were, and you pointed out some not so good things.
They like to run right back up,
right
the
back the middle. But sure as you know what, they would happen twice, and seemed like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but that was that, but you were terrific with them. So,
any words for advice for the new coach,
a would-be coach? You're not a coach. Just because you stand there and yell at the players and scare the kids doesn't make you a coach.
I think I broke my wrist trying to teach them a club move today. I forgot I'm old now.
Well, coach, good luck with the Giants, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks,
Pete.
Coach.
Great.